Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we are recorded today. However, since we are recorded, we won't require you to call in and talk to me on the air to register to win a muzzleloader, but you're certainly welcome to do that. Give our phone number a call here at 410-922-6680. That's 410-WCBM-680 or 800-WCBM-680. And talk to whoever answers the phone. Say, I want to get in the muzzleloader contest. They'll take your name and phone number, and we'll be more than glad to consider you for a muzzleloader at the end of the month when we draw make the drawing. And that's a great CVA muzzleloader. I can't say enough about CVA. What a great company. And why not celebrate them right here on in muzzleloader season? So if you're not out in the field, you're sitting there at home listening, and you want to win a muzzleloader for yourself or for a gift, well, we certainly welcome your participation. Once again, that number is 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And give Brian a call and tell him you want to get in the muzzleloader contest, and he'll write your name and number down. And I'll be back next week. So as I mentioned, we are pre-recorded today. I'm somewhere in the woods. I don't even know where I am in the woods today. I could be anywhere from Cecil County to Montgomery County to somewhere in between. But hopefully we're out there in search of a nice deer for muzzleloader season. So since we are pre-recorded, we have invited a couple of special guests here today. They are special guys, really special guys. George Timko and Harry Spiker are here. George is works with the Deer Project here in Maryland. He's one of our field biologists, who's one of those hard-working boots-on-the-ground guys. And Harry does double duty. Right around the corner, Harry, we've got bear season coming up here starting on Monday. And Harry's the bear guy and also our fur bear guy here in Maryland, too. So he's well known among big game hunters and little furry, fuzzy critter guys that go trapping for a living, or part of their living anyway. So I want to say good morning, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Alan.
Morning. Harry, let's start with you. Bear season comes in on Monday, tomorrow, Sunday. You'll be gathered together in some big auditorium somewhere. No, you won't be got. No pre-hunt
meeting this year. That's
really?
One of the big changes that we've made.
No kidding.
For
so
the year,
you're on your own. Just get out there and go.
That's right. Every buddy that drew a permit actually got a packet in the mail. I still have the Black Bear Hunter's Guide.
Yeah.
To guide them along, but we're loosening things up a little bit this year.
I guess you
are.
We've
had 10 great seasons, and
you're on your own. I guess that. Hey, bear hunters, you're on your own. Just so you know, I just got an email, so ignore any of those electronic signals when you hear them. Okay, did not know that. I thought there was a pre-hunt meeting. Of course, had I been selected. You do anything about that?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. How many applicants did you have?
We had about 3,600, just over 3,600 applicants this year.
Okay. That's down a little bit.
A little bit. Well, last few years we've been 3,500 to 4,000.
Really?
So we're
in the middle. Okay, good. 3,500, 3,600, and then 400?
450 permits this year, which is up from 380 last year.
So. Right. And no quota on the bear. So
that's right.
Whenever they're done, they're done. And you know not everybody's going to get one, so you can the population can certainly stand the management.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And if I remember right, you did a population study in 2006, I believe, and another one in 2011.
Yep.
And
yep.
I know we published those results a while back in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, but in effect, the bear population in 5 years had nearly doubled.
Yeah, it was actually 2005 and 2011, but it did essentially double in that time in Garrett and Allegheny County. And what we're seeing a shift. Right now, the densest population is western Allegheny County, so west between Cumberland and Frostburg, essentially, or between Cumberland and Grantsville. Basically, we have more bears per square mile there than anywhere else in the state.
Do you have an estimate on the population?
I mean,
I know what it was in 2011, but you're saying it's growing.
Yeah, it is. It is growing. In 2011, we estimated 700 adult and subadult bears in Garrett and Allegheny, and I'd roughly say we're probably at around 1,000 or so now. We'll do another in-depth population study in a couple of years.
Have the landowner and public incidents increased over the past couple of years, or they remain pretty steady?
Well, things are stabilizing as far as human bear conflicts go. All of those issues, I mean, they're still there. We had about 500 nuisance reports logged in last year.
Uh-huh.
Vehicle strikes, you know, we have about 50 bears a year dying, and that's started to stabilize somewhat, which I credit to the bear hunt. You know, a lot of those bears that would have been struck by vehicles are now going home in the back of somebody's pickup truck.
One way or the other, they're
not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
Well, not
it'd
a bad
be,
thing
it'd
when
be
it goes
a bad
home
thing if I hit one
truck.
With my truck, brother. I'll tell you what, a white-tailed deer can do a lot of damage. I don't know what a bear can do.
Yeah, scratch that. That's not a bad that comment wasn't in regards to vehicle collisions.
That's okay, Harry. This is your first time here. You're doing good. You're doing good. So, okay, so you got 450 permits.
Yep.
Now, each of those are also allowed to have two sub-permittees this year.
That is correct. In the past, it was one sub-permittee and one landowner sub-permittee. So roughly about a third of the hunting parties had three people on the permit. And this year, going through what we've seen in the registration already, I mean,
You're going to have 1,000 people.
Oh, yeah. We're already at 1,000. We might have just a little over. We were at 715 last year.
Right.
And,
okay.
So we're going to be a little over 1,000
so
people.
So we should have some bear success with all those eyes and ears in the woods.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, look, people comment about any bear is legal.
Right.
You know, I mean, you've got cubs that are 2 years old. You got cubs that are a year old, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of guys don't know the difference. I mean, it's hard to judge a bear. You know, if you've never been drawn for a bear hunter, you know.
Absolutely. And that, that's why it was so important to us to not have a cub law, if you will, or a cub restriction, if you will, because you put first of all, a cub that was born this year can weigh over 100 pounds.
Sure.
An adult female can weigh 100 to 150 pounds,
exactly.
You know, one that's 8 years old.
Right.
So you put a cub, even if it's a 65-pound cub, at 100 yards in a rhododendron thicket.
It's hard to tell.
You can't tell. Even somebody experienced, you can't tell until you walk up on it.
Sure, sure. And unless you've had that experience, unless you've spent time in a stand and were able to observe bears more than one, or you know,
right,
several, like maybe they've been to Maine or Canada or somewhere bear hunting or something like that and have observed bears close up, it's pretty hard to tell the size
absolutely
of the bear, you know,
absolutely.
So. And of course the landowners don't mind. They want them harvested.
You can bet any bear on the landscape out there is spending some time in cornfields and you know,
sure,
other things as well. So it is a management hunt without a doubt.
Exactly. All right. Well, what has the success rate been over the last 9 years?
Success rate has been really good, largely due to the timing of the season. Yeah, in October, bears are spending a great amount of time feeding, and so that's enabled our success rate for the last 2 years was a 13% hunter success rate.
Now, that's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the regional average is 3-5%.
Right.
And what we're doing differently is we're hunting with firearms in October when they're moving a lot.
Sure.
And
sure. I mean, you know, I guess you're just in that first part of that major feed for hibernation.
Yep. Packing on the pounds for winter.
Sure. And I know like in Pennsylvania, the season's a month later. It's
right.
The week of Thanksgiving, the early, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it is of Thanksgiving.
Right.
And Pennsylvania's pretty successful, too. I mean,
well,
given the amount of hunters in the woods, they
absolutely
killed, you know, thousands of bears. But so that whole October, November thing when the acorns are falling and when the crops are at their best, you know, you're gonna see a lot of bear movement. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, cool. Hunters from everywhere in Maryland.
Yeah, we've got hunters from all across Maryland, and some from as far away as a handful from out of state, as far away as Texas.
Really?
A lot of people traveling. Of course, the hunt is restricted to Garrett and Allegheny counties only at this time, but.
Any idea what the economic impact of the hunt is at all, Harry? I mean, has anybody ever put a number on it?
No, we never have put a number on it, but I can tell you anecdotally, just drive around that week up in Garrett County, and there's a lot of folks spending some money in
oh,
that
sure.
rural part of the state.
Absolutely. Absolutely, no question. Yeah, I've been actually been blessed to have been drawn twice. I was drawn the second year when we had, I think, 18 inches of snow up there in Frostburg.
Right.
I got to hunt one day, and then I couldn't get to my bear spot the next day.
You were lucky if you had power then.
Exactly. Enough power to get down off that mountain, Frostburg.
That's right.
And the second time was, I don't know, 2010 or 11, I guess. It was the lowest humidity ever recorded in the world for that entire week that I was there.
Right.
And there were no acorns. So,
yeah.
But my landowner sub-permittee did wind up taking a bear.
Right.
And so that was pretty cool to make sure he was a happy guy. So.
Well, this year, anybody that's listening out there might want to pay attention for acorns because they're dropping out there this year in spots here and there. And those white oak acorns are what they're going to be interested in.
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, it pays to do your scouting ahead of time, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
That's for sure. So you're not restricted as far as any firearm, archery, flintlock, recurve.
Anything that's legal for deer is legal for bear.
Right. So, and you've had them taken with just about everything.
We've had them taken with all of them, crossbow, vertical bow, traditional archery, you name it, handgun, shotgun, muzzleloader.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine's friend drew a permit this year from Dorchester County. You may remember Dave Seacott, who took the very first bear ever in Maryland.
Yep.
Well, in modern times, in 50-some years. And he's going again, but this year he's taking his flintlock.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's a very crafty guy when it comes to building custom flintlocks.
Right.
So Dave's taking a custom flintlock, and he's taking a number of deer and sick of deer with his flintlock. So he's
going to
take that for bear and see how that works out. So, but yeah, he still has number one. So he's tickled with that.
Maybe we'll see him at the check station again.
Let's hope so. All right. Well, we're coming up on our break here. I'm going to start telling the folks about some of our – I'm not ignoring you, George. Okay. Start telling some of the folks about our great sponsors, and one of those is Chesapeake Outdoors, located on the eastern shore just past the Bay Bridge. It's actually on Route 50 East. You get to exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, and you can check them out. Now, they've got muzzleloaders, but firearms for waterfowl and deer hunting. They've got the great Matthews bow and all the crossbows like Carbon Express and Mission and Barnett and Parker and Excalibur. But what I want to tell you about is their waterfowl picking. That doesn't start till November. They pick ducks and geese, and they do a fine job. I've had it done there, and the guys really know what they're doing. So make sure when you head to the Eastern Shore, go duck hunting. Don't worry about picking your ducks and geese, because Chesapeake Outdoors can do that for you. And don't forget, they got a full selection of Drake and Under Armour hunting clothing. Again, Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Route 50 East, exit 39B on Ken Island, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. And we'll be right back after this.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Congratulations, Buck Baum, on your 10th anniversary. Now, Buck Baum products attract deer and improve your odds. Ambush is an all-season deer scent that comes in a larger can that gives you 33% more Buck Baum for the same low price. Use it on every hunt. The Cornholer. It's a corn-based attractant that screws into the ground. Deer have to paw and gnaw to get it. It also comes in Sugar Beet Smash. Funny name, serious results. Pathfinder is an invisible spray except to your flashlight. You spray it on trees to mark your trail into your stand. You can't see it in the daylight, so no one can find your favorite spot except you. Deer Domination, an attractant that can be added to feeders, corn, or whatever you're feeding. Deer Domination Ration helps bring more deer to your site. Visit your local Buck Baum retailer, order online at buckbaum.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Baum blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Baum.
Everyone reaches a point in their life when it's time to
stop the music
and turn on the talk.
Rush Limbaugh, your highly trained broadcast specialist with countless years experience
with the news,
in touch
opinions.
I have a point to make and I have a question to ask.
And always remembering
the key to success.
That's following your passion. News,
opinion,
passion.
The Rush Limbaugh radio program. Rush Limbaugh, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your hands start shaking, your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before.
Hey, we're back with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We're with George Timko and Harry Spiker. First segment there was all Harry talking about the upcoming bear season that starts Monday. And one more question. It runs, it's 4 days set. I mean, it's
that's
nobody
right.
has
no
to
more
call quote,
No more
in
quota system, no call-in. It's 4 days. Hunters have Monday through Thursday to hunt this year.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
that's a good change for the hunter, I think.
Yep. No Sundays, though. Let's turn our attention to Harry Spiker and our overpopulated deer herd here in Maryland, except in Region A. No, I'm sorry, George Timko. Our overpopulated deer herd here in Maryland. We just had a stakeholders meeting about the overabundant deer population in Maryland and how to deal with it. And you were in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the comments were pretty interesting, and of course that's all going to be wrapped up in a report coming up from the DNR for the General Assembly by December 30th. A lot of folks were in attendance.
Yeah, it was a big group. Deer garner a lot of attention, whether it's from the hunting public or the non-hunting public, or elected officials, quite frankly.
So yeah, sure.
This day and age, deer is a hot topic.
Yes, it is. Well, some of the things that were brought up were some of the reasons why some people think deer are overpopulated, and that seems to be the number of strikes on the highway. And you drive anywhere in central Maryland, this time of year, you're going to find, if you drive 30 or 40 miles, you're going to find a deer somewhere dead along the road.
Sure, and it's the breeding season for deer. It's obvious that their activity increases immeasurably at this time of year, so it's,
sure.
It's no doubt you're going to find roadkill deer often.
No question. Deer change their behavior several times during the year, but this being one of the most rapidly times of changing from the agricultural crops and the grasses to the harder crops, the hard mass crops, and they're still going in and out of the cornfields, but they're also changing physiologically as well.
Sure.
Testosterone levels rising in the bucks.
The breeding behavior is taking off this time of year, and does start to come into heat, and bucks are starting to feel them out and chase them, and they're starting to move around on the landscape to look for females, actively pursue them. And the females are actively pursuing mates as well. It's something that, you know, the males get a lot to blame for that, but the females have a part of that issue as well.
Sure.
And then, of course, when the females are out looking actively looking for mates, then their offspring are basically floundering. They're kind of wandering around the landscape. The young males are basically being kicked out of their habitat. They're dispersing to new habitats. So a lot of deer activity this time of year.
We got the muzzleloader season starting. Well, we're pre-recording this so that I can be out there, but the muzzleloader season for either sex, or buck or doe, and basically any deer, it was Thursday, Friday, and today, the 18th. And I always love this time of year because those bucks are looking, and they're looking hard.
Definitely.
And, you know, and the does are, of course, as you said, I think the peak of our breeding season here in Maryland starts when?
First couple weeks, November.
Yeah.
That's the peak of breeding. But, you know, there's the active searching phase for bucks who are actually looking for females.
Right.
You know, they're becoming more aggressive towards other males.
Right.
Sparring, marking their turf, so to speak, with their antlers.
Right.
There's a lot of activity that's occurring up to that point. And correspondingly, there's a huge increase in deer activity. Deer are crossing roads more. People
sure.
are traveling. You know, the shorter days, people are commuting at the time, the peak times of deer traveling. So.
Right.
You know, it's inevitable that more collisions are going to increase.
No question. 30,000 plus sometimes?
35, it's been estimated.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know, we go on reported numbers, and the number that are reported to us are very few compared to the number that's estimated.
Sure.
There's a lot of times that deer get struck and aren't reported.
Sure.
And then, of course, if the hard figures are the ones that go to the insurance companies because they're the ones that have to pay for the automobile
of course.
Replacements and repair.
Yeah.
So, you know, those numbers are probably more in line with what's happening out there. And it's
sure.
still a fraction probably of,
sure.
of the total number.
Yeah. And as far as the deer eating the people's, landscape in their yards, that type of thing, that's changing too because they're going from those soft and hard mass crops to the more of the browse type situation here pretty soon.
Exactly. And change in diet, you know, it's a seasonal thing with white-tailed deer, and certain years natural foods are more abundant than others. This year acorn mast abundance is relatively high, and white oak acorns obviously are in favor.
That's the highest protein fat content of all the acorns.
I would say so. And white-tailed deer, black bear, turkey, everything are going to be concentrating their efforts
sure.
on those. And that's a good thing for hunters to know is whenever they're out scouting for this early muzzleloader season or any season is to cue in on those preferred foods.
Sure.
And then once those dry up, deer will start to feed on other things, agricultural crops, landscaping,
whatever they can find.
Basically whatever
sure.
they can find.
Sure. Now, you know, we've had conversations, I don't know about on the air, but we've had conversations in the past about people who feed corn year-round.
Sure.
And, you know, the deer will eat it, obviously. But certain times of year, they're not set up to eat corn.
Right, exactly. And deer really are – their diets are kind of seasonal in nature. They've adapted over millennia their bodies are adapted to certain foods at certain times of the year when they're seasonally available.
Right.
As their diet changes, the bacterium in their digestive system changes as well. And so, say, late winter when deer are adapted to eating browse.
Right.
And
twigs and sticks and that kind of
exactly.
stuff.
I mean, then people start feeding them hay or corn, and that disrupts their diet. It can cause what is called acidosis, a buildup of acid in their system, negating the effects of their nutritional system. Quite frankly, they can't digest it.
Right.
They'll get
They get sick. Yeah. And they're malnourished, basically. You're starving. You're feeding a deer hay and corn, and you're starving it to death in late winter.
Exactly. And that occurs. And people are good-natured in thinking that they're going to feed these deer and help them survive. And the deer will have a belly full of corn and or hay and still, quite frankly, can't digest it because they're
right.
it's adapted to browse at that time of the year.
Right. So the best thing in late winter is just let them go. Let them eat their
We like to think we're helping wildlife by doing a lot of these things, but in reality, we're usually harming them.
Sure. Like people feeding the birds. I mean, when do we feed birds? We feed them in the winter. Well, that's when the seeds are most abundant that they eat anyway. You know, so we feed them up with all kinds of other things. When you need to feed birds is in the summertime, you know, for the most part. But, hey, we're all guilty. So, all right. Let's move on to our burgeoning deer population here in Maryland. Our deer, we kind of had an interesting comment right at the end of the meeting the other day. The whole meeting was focused on the overpopulation of deer, What do we do to, you know, Farm Bureau, get a rifle, kill them 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, kill them all, kill them, every one of them, you know, little ones, big ones, short ones, fat ones, skinny ones, kill them all, pretty much from the Farm Bureau, which is, that's their philosophy, I guess. They want to take care of their farmers and mitigate as much crop damage as possible, which is fine if that's what they want to do. But that's not sound management. That's what you guys are for. So the question is, and it was posed right at the end of the meeting, where are we at on the status of, deer, of our deer population here in Maryland? And the answer is?
Well, in the areas where we can hunt them and use our most effective tool, i.e. hunting,
yes,
we're stabilized that population. That population's healthy. In those areas of the state where we can't use that tool, and the tool is very strictly limited, i.e. the urban and developed areas, which is increasing in the state, you know, those populations very likely are increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And the tools are very limited is what we can use in those situations in those settings.
Yeah, and the tools are Ford, Chrysler, GM.
And sharpshooting in some situations,
sure.
Very limited, obviously. It's really – the bigger issue is access.
Right.
Access to private property. And the majority of the state is privately owned. Over 90% of the state is private property.
Right.
That being said, it's incumbent upon those private landowners to address that deer issue on their private property.
Right.
But when you own a fraction of an acre and you're surrounded by other individuals that own a fraction of an acre, it's difficult to manage deer under that landscape setting.
I have a nice 8-point that comes into my quarter acre lot just about every night with my encouragement. But there's no way I can take that deer. You know, we had a population of 5 or 6 does in this buck, you know, for a couple of years now. There's no way I can harvest that deer. That deer's not going to stay on my little quarter acre lot, even if I do make a shot with a crossbow or anything else. And besides that, no matter where I turn, I'm within, you know, the confines of a safety zone. There's no way I can get 150 yards from anywhere else or with any reasonable distance from anywhere else. So, you know, I certainly don't want that deer. I want them in my yard. I don't mind them. I got, you know, a dozen squirrels and everything else. But I've got, you know, you just look at that and you go, boy, that's a nice buck. Boy, that's really a nice buck, you know. And the temptation level rises a little bit, but I'll never take that deer, you know, never take that deer. So it's just fun to watch. And I think people like to watch deer, which is also one of the reasons why they feed deer, to keep them coming into their you know, yard or backyard or whatever it is, you know. And sometimes that's not the best thing for the deer.
So, sure, definitely.
You know, but any idea on how our numbers are going? I mean, it's only October. How's our bow numbers going?
Well, right now, I believe our harvest is down about 20%, but that's a regional issue, and quite frankly, it's really related to mast abundance. This year's really another one of those bumper crops for acorns and deer in the acorns, and they'll walk past a pile of corn in a soybean field to get to acorns
this
time of year. It's
something they've
adapted to. It's really the best food out there nutritionally for them, and,
sure,
and they're going to surpass other foods at this point until the acorns start to dry up. So.
Yeah. Sure. I got you. Well, that certainly makes sense, of course, but you guys are both Western Maryland, and I'll throw this out to both of you. Are you guys seeing an increase in our coyote population in Western Maryland? Are you seeing that at all?
Oh, yeah. The coyote population is to increasing statewide, not just in Western Maryland.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, we've got the highest density in Western Maryland than anywhere else.
Sure. Okay. And as far as, you know, when Brian's in here, coyotes aren't a factor. But, you know, I think the hunters are seeing that more and more coyotes when they're in the stands and in the woods and that type of thing. And they've got to be some small factor now, even, you know, especially during fawning season.
Sure. As coyote numbers increase, they obviously can have an impact. But we're not seeing that impact. We're not seeing that impact in the harvest ratio to bucks to does to fawns at the meat processors. We're not seeing them, quite frankly, in any of the regional studies that have been done.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's putting on my fur bearer hat there. You know, I'm privy to some research going on around the country on this issue right now. And you know, basically what most folks are seeing is that, yes, coyotes opportunistically take fawns in particular, but
they'll
not
also
enough
take cats and lambs and everything else.
Exactly, yeah. But not enough to limit a population. I mean, you think about deer, they've evolved with wolves, you know, initially, and there are no longer wolves on the landscape, but they've got this strategy called predator swamping, where they dump all their fawns out over a short period of time. And the adaptive benefit of that is that, you know, there's so much there that the coyotes or other predators take some, but they can't take them all.
Okay. Hang on there, guys. Let me talk about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. I got to tell you what, there's a rebate going on right now on the A-Bolt 3. That's a bolt-action rifle. It's a $100 rebate, which bring the price at Clyde's down to right under $400. So you can get yourself a new 270, 30-06, 7mm mag, or 300 Win mag on an A-Bolt 3 for that kind of money. And I'll tell you what, that is a great price. And, of course, if you're a waterfowler, don't forget the A-5, 100,000 round, 5-year guarantee. There's the great BPS pump, and two deer models are available in that pump shotgun as well, both 12- and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer models available in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo, and, of course, for all the other calibers and gauges, the 410, the 28, the 20, the 16, the 12, and the 10-gauge model. That's that BPS pump shotgun with bottom ejection and DuraTouch armor coating. Clyde Sports Shop, your full line, Browning Headquarters, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. Hey, you can join professional hunter Bob Folkrod tomorrow. That's October 19th, and his friends on Sunday afternoon for Sick of Deer Sunday at Bass Pro Shops in Arundel Mills. Bob Folkrod has taken the largest Sick of Stag ever filmed by a national television show, and you can see the exclusive video right there. Sick of Hunters and specialized Sick of Deer vendors will be on hand to celebrate our exclusive little elk. Now, someone or two will win a $50 Bass Pro Shop gift card, courtesy of yours truly and the Outdoors and Radio Show, on Sick of Deer Sunday, October 19th at Bass Pro Shops at Arundel Mills.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is NASCAR driver Kurt Busch. The Fastlane isn't just for race car drivers anymore. Now there's a faster VA claims filing process for veterans. When you file an electronic fully developed claim or e-claim for disability compensation on e-benefits, you can get a faster decision than the standard process. Why wait? Visit ebenefits.va.gov today.
E-claims, online VA claims made simple. A message from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
This is NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, and I am proud to support our nation's veterans. Do you know you can get a faster decision on your disability compensation claims by filing an electronic fully developed claim, or e-claim, on e-benefits? Take it from a guy who lives his life in the fast lane. Faster is better. Visit ebenefits.va.gov today to learn more.
E-claims, online VA claims made simple. A message from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Monday on the Wall Street Journal this morning, with more calls for a U.S. travel ban on passengers from Ebola-stricken West Africa, we'll examine the pluses and minuses of enforcing such a rule. Also, the race to turn a 5 to 10 year test for an Ebola vaccine into about a 90-day sped-up process. And the big changes awaiting Americans who get health coverage at work. Monday on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Weekday mornings at 5 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligator for a living. He just knock him in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gon' get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp.
Okay, we're back with George Timko, the bear biologist for Bear Biologist. I'm sorry, I mix these guys up all the time. George Timko is our deer biologist. Harry Spiker is our bear biologist and for Bear Biologist. I'll make a note here in a minute and put the right things down next to your name. We were talking about coyotes and that those worlds overlap with you, Harry and George, with the coyotes and the deer thing and you're being the fur bear guy. We had no sightings. Well, we saw some deer kind of acting real skittish. This was last Thursday night, acting real skittish. I'm in Montgomery County.
Right.
Other than one of those little dumb button bucks that you talked about, it came up and licked the ladder that we were sitting in, you know. Had no, absolutely no fear. We're just sitting there looking at him, laughing at him, you know, 10 feet below us. It was funny, you know. So, anyway, but the deer were kind of passing us by. And at the end of the night, still legal shooting time, plenty of light out in the field, but not so in the woods. I said to Laura, I said, why don't you get down, take your bow, down, stand on the edge here beside a tree, just kind of get comfortable. And, you know, these deer will move on this path around the soybean field. And she got out on the edge of the woods and she kind of peered out there to see if there were any deer coming. And there were two coyotes there. And we kind of figured that's why we didn't see many deer. I mean, they're
right.
Skittish. I mean,
right.
It's not like,
absolutely.
You know, they're going to be skittish no matter if a big predator's no matter what it is. But the overall effect on the harvest has not been great, of course, is what you're telling me. You're saying that, yes, they do take some. They are opportunists and that type of thing. Tell me a little bit about if I'm in a deer stand and I see a coyote, am I allowed to shoot it?
Yeah. Coyotes can be taken as long as you have a fur bearer stamp year round during daylight hours.
Right.
One exception technically is on the opening day of firearm season for deer.
Really?
And that's in statute. That's a law that exists from a long time ago where I believe it reads that nothing other than deer or sea ducks in the sea duck zone can be taken on the first day of deer season.
Really? If I can see the bay from my deer stand, and I'm using copper ammunition.
That's going to be a long shot. But coyotes generally very liberal season on them, and they're a secretive critter. I mean, they move in. There are a lot of places where people have no idea they are. They're in every county in Maryland now. So
I'm going to guess if you ask any deer hunter if he could kill a coyote on the first day of deer season, he would say yes.
He'd probably be right.
He would say yes. But technically, that is
technically
against the law.
Right.
Okay. I got you.
And that is the only one day out of the year.
Really?
Right.
We got to change that. Is it just simply a safety thing?
Well, no, that's that's historical. It's long before my time, but I'm sure that law came about before we had coyotes on the landscape.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't have coyotes here until the early 70s when the first coyotes showed up.
Right.
And that law predates that by some time, so that was just designed to protect deer and deer hunting. that people wouldn't be hunting other critters at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And coyotes weren't even a consideration at that time.
Really? I mean, that you would think that would be probably the most advantageous time for people to cut down on the coyote population.
Absolutely.
And probably do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. Other than the first day of deer season.
Right.
That's very interesting. You know anybody that's ever been sighted?
Nope.
Don't know anybody that's ever been sighted?
Nope.
Well, okay, that answers that question, moving right along. So, any idea how our recruitment was this year, George, on the whitetails? We're seeing just a ton of fawns out there.
I would imagine that not just recruitment, but the population overall is, steady in those areas where it's been hunted, but increasing in those areas where there's no hunting, obviously.
Right.
Recruitment should have been great because does were healthy going into last winter, with the exception that we had kind of an extended winter for Maryland.
Right.
Regionally, though, I don't think it had a great impact overall on deer numbers, i.e. winter kill. But, we have had reports of, deer in poor condition late in the winter.
Sure.
And in particularly situations where deer were overabundant and deer weren't in great condition going into the start of winter, then, obviously there was a little bit of mortality, but not to the point where some people think the sky is falling and we need to cut back on our harvest.
Right.
Quite frankly, the reverse. We need to, in those situations in particular, increase the harvest to get the population in balance more with the carrying capacity of the habitat.
I read one time, I don't know what, one of the deer magazines that suggested, this was in the Midwest, that if you know you're going to have a rough winter, your best course of action is to harvest the young deer. Harvest those button bucks, harvest those young does, because they're the ones that are going to be the most susceptible to winter kill. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, I mean, just theoretically speaking, those animals haven't had the time to put on as much fat as potentially an adult. They also can't really compete with an adult for food sources.
And longer, shorter legs, longer legs.
And they can't reach some of the food. And aggressively, believe it or not, it's not all, hunky-dory in the woods. Adult deer are going to, they're going to defend their resource. And we've all seen does kicking fawns.
Oh, yeah.
And they're out-competing those fawns. They'll chase them off of a food source. It's really, at that point, me first.
I thought it was all Bambi and Thumper and let's all get along.
Contrary to normal. Not popular belief.
Really?
It's not really how it is.
I'm going to cry. I can't see Mama kicking her own fawn. But you know what? Hey, if there's low-hanging fruit, and you can't reach it, get out of my way. Yeah, it is the survival of the fittest, isn't it? That still applies.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't had over the past 30 years, we haven't had any tremendous winter kills, have we?
not that I can recall, and I've been with the Deer Project for a while, been with the department for over 20.
Yeah.
To be honest, no.
Yeah, okay.
The answer would be no.
Yeah. I mean, even in extreme western Maryland, where the weather's...
A couple very localized events that I can recall, and one of which was in a community that fed a lot of corn.
Really?
And we saw a winter kill where it kept the deer there rather than them going to their typical yarding area, and feeding on what they would have normally fed upon.
Now, that's a term you don't hear very often, a deer yard, and it's basically where the deer tend to congregate during the wintertime and have a series of feeding trails in and out. And how am I summarizing that?
You're doing great. Yeah, it's a sheltered area typically where they can get there's browse available for them right there in a close area, and they can remain somewhat sheltered from the elements.
Right. And if you're pulling them out of that into your yards just to get some corn, you're not doing them any good.
Right.
I've hunted over corn. I hunt over corn on some occasions. I personally particularly like the natural deer movement myself. Without that, I like to be able to do a little woodsmanship and see where the deer trails are and the intersections and the pinch points and the, and the, that type of thing, the travel areas, and try to do a deer hunt in the right way where I make my stand selection or put a ground blind or whatever it might be. Not always the case. Can't always do that, especially if you're hunting on somebody else's property or hunting where there are multiple hunters on the property or the lease or whatever it might be, and somebody wants to bait, and they go out and they bait all the stands, and you're there. So, I'm not morally opposed to baiting at this point. I have benefited from it. But once it becomes harmful that time of year, I think you guys are probably both in agreement it's time to stop. When's a good time to stop? I mean, you got bow hunters hunting all the way to the end of January, but probably end of December is probably about the right time to stop.
Probably. Yeah, it's really a judgment call. And we do have some hunters that are hunting in suburban areas where they have restricted access to small acreages, and baiting by all means is a useful tool in those settings.
Sure.
But quite frankly, you have to get that population in balance with the habitat. And if you have an overabundance of deer, you may, in that particular setting, you may want to continue baiting and taking deer.
Right.
You just kind of have to weigh the pros with the cons there. Is it going to negatively affect the herd? Are you taking enough deer to make a difference? Or are you just, doing it to recreationally take deer?
Right.
We can't tell you when there's a good or bad time to start or stop doing that sort of thing. It's really
right.
A judgment call.
Judgment call. Yeah. I got you. All right. Well, that's another issue for another time, another discussion. I mean, we have discussed it here a little bit, but let's move on to this private versus public type of thing. You guys are in Western Maryland, and a lot of public ground out there. How's our deer herd on the public ground? If I want to drive from Baltimore or Annapolis and go to Western Maryland and experience a deer hunt out there, how's our public ground for deer hunting?
Still thriving. And
okay.
Perception may be that there are no deer on public land.
Right.
And the reality is we've actually done some studies. We've actually had some research projects that have looked at deer densities on some of those public lands. And 35 deer per square mile is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And that's what we're finding on some of these larger tracts of grounds where, according to the hunters, there are no deer.
Right.
So really, I think it kind of goes back to what hunters are used to. In these suburban areas, they're used to high deer densities.
Sure.
They're used to seeing deer every time they go in the woods. They're used to seeing multiple deer every time they go in the woods. And that's probably not a good thing. It's probably better that they should be seeing fewer deer and having to actually hunt for the deer versus just sitting and seeing a bunch of deer. We have healthy deer populations in our western areas where there's heavy hunting harvest.
Right. Some of those public lands, though, you will admit, accessibility is a little difficult.
Sure. As with any property. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to walk a mile. You're going to walk a half a mile.
Sure.
And, you're going to have to go out and scout ahead of time. You're going to have to find where the deer are actually moving. You're going to have to, because there's no baiting allowed on public property.
Right.
And so you're going to have to go find the natural deer movement. You can't walk 100 yards off the road and expect to kill a deer.
Sure.
I mean, some people do, but it's highly unlikely in that western part of the state.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get in there and find, you know, where to go, how to get there.
I think hunters have to rely more on their woodsmanship skills in those settings as well.
You know, well, sure.
You have to scout more. You have to get out and be more active.
Yeah.
Versus I've been hunting the same stand for 30 years and I'm not seeing any deer, darn it.
Right.
Well, that's
– yeah.
That, in some people's opinion, that's not hunting. That's just waiting.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll be wrapping up the first hour here shortly. And with George Timko, our deer project guy, biologist, deer biologist, boots on the ground type of guy, and Harry Spiker, our bear, B-E-A-R, and fur bearer guy as well. But now it's time for me to tell you folks about Bass Pro Shops at Arundel Mills. Welcomes you to meet professional hunter Bob Folkrod and friends on Sunday afternoon. That's October 19th, tomorrow, and that's Sick-a-Deer Sunday. Bob Folkrod has taken the largest, sickest stag ever filmed by a national television show, and you can see that exclusive video. Bob will be on hand with Sitka hunters and specialized Sitka deer vendors to celebrate our exclusive little elk. Sunday, October 19th, someone, or maybe two, will win a $50 Bass Pro Shop gift card courtesy of the Outdoors and Radio Show at Bass Pro Shops, Arundel Mills, on Sitka Deer Sunday. And, guys, we want to thank you for being here this hour. We're going to take a break for the news, and we'll be right back with more of the Outdoors and Radio Show. If you have to leave us now, it's time for me to say get out, stay out, and stay safe.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry.